Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for your word. We come before it. Lord, it's your word, and we reverence it. We humbly place ourselves in submission to it, Lord, because we know that in submitting to your word, we submit to you. We know that if we submit to you and your word, we can resist the devil and he will flee from us. We thank you for that, Lord, that right that we have in this place of grace that we live by faith. Thank you for our righteousness. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher, that you're going to open eyes today, that you're going to let people see and understand those that are willing, and they will have revelation come to them. And as they do and that understanding comes, Lord, we purpose in our hearts right now to be doers of your word. And not hearers only, applying this truth to every area of our lives. Lord, as you said in your word to us, in whatever we do, whether eating or drinking or anything, we do it as unto the glory of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So years ago, when I first started preaching, you know, I had people come to me and actually what happened was, and this is unique, I guess, in a sense, but I didn't have enough sense to know what God was doing. I was just born again, and I really enjoyed my fellowship with the Lord because I got out of that place of death into that place of life, and I actually would dream every once in a while at night that I was preaching. And I never really, you know, I didn't grow up necessarily in a preacher's home. There were times where ministry was a part of our lives as far as my parents were concerned. And then also ministry was a part of our family in the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch. But it wasn't like it was, and we knew God. We were around God. But I never thought God would call me to preach. I never thought that. That thought never crossed my mind. I didn't have, you know, I didn't grow up in an atmosphere where, you know, there was a lot of what we might call prophecy and things like that. It might have been going on, but it wasn't as pronounced as it is today where you could go to a church and have somebody give you a word from the Lord, you know, something like that. But then later on, after I got saved, I was 19, and I started to, you know, I just wanted to do whatever God wanted me to do. And so I would have a dream every once in a while about me preaching. Not like a dream like, you know, I ate too much pizza and, you know, not that kind of dream. Like, it would wake me up. The presence of God would come in the room and while I'm dreaming, and it would just rattle me. I mean, it would wake me up, and I'd think, and I didn't even then. I mean, talk about young and spiritually dense. Even then, I was like, well, I don't know what that means. You know what I mean? That was, I don't even own a suit, but I would see myself preaching in a suit. You know, I didn't have any of that stuff. So over time, as I continued to seek the Lord, I realized maybe there's something here. And then, so I went to my first year of Bible college, and then we took the summer off, and I'd come home and visit Heidi, and work for my father-in-law. I was trying to earn her, and, it worked. So, but anyway, so I came back, and I, at one point I got invited to preach in Round Mountain, Nevada. Who's been to Round Mountain, Nevada? Yep, just this family. You want to know why? Well, maybe a few more, because it's a mining town and there's nobody there. I mean, there's a few people there. They probably wouldn't appreciate it if you called them nobody, but there was a few people there, and I went to this church, and my point in this is this. I was talking about not knowing what I'm going to preach next. I did not get my messages to preach in those services until right before I got up to preach. You want to talk about a life of faith. I mean, I even went to the pastor. I'm like, I've tried to study. I've tried to pray. You know, I've spent time. I don't know what's... And he go, well, let's just pray and ask God. And a half a song before I was supposed to get up, I'd get the message. So thankfully, I had the word in me, but I mean, it was something. It was a test. And you know, God will put you in that position. Amen? You have an opportunity to use your faith. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm not saying that everything in your life is the result of God. You have an enemy. Okay? And his goal is to steal from you. His goal is to destroy you. His goal is to kill you. And you have your faith in you because you've read the Word of God, and the Spirit of God lives within you if you're born again, and you can use that faith. And the more you use your faith in your very difficult situation, and I use that term in the sense of very difficult, in the sense of it's your situation and it feels difficult. If it were God's situation and it was just His, He would go, it's a situation. Come on. Come on, you think God's impressed with your problem? He cares about you, and He understands where you're at, and you're His child, but He's given you ability in you using your faith. So make sure you enact that faith and use that faith. Did you say, was it easy for you to be in that situation? No, but God was stretching me and growing me and developing me. Till now, it's not as big a deal. And there are times where I get up with nothing. But when you've been putting the Word in you for 20 years, the Holy Spirit ought to be able to draw something. Amen? So be aware of that. Be aware of the fact that if you're in a situation and you're sitting there and you find yourself thinking and saying this, I don't know what to do. Realize you have the One who does. And then exercise your faith that direction. And God will see you through, and this will happen for you. You will continue to grow spiritually. Which I'll just say this, your spiritual growth or development is more important than what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive, how big your bank account is or isn't. It is more important than anything in this natural life. Amen? Because, and you guys have heard this, and you know this, and we know this. This is the shortest thing we're ever going to do. Right now. It's the shortest thing. Even if you live 100 years, how fast does it go? Ooh. I was just in sixth grade wondering when class was going to get out. And I'm 42. Yes. Grade school was a prison sentence. All right, so Matthew chapter 13, verse 34, Jesus made this statement. He said, all these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable He did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. The parables of Jesus are truths that were kept secret up until Jesus came and revealed them. And they were before the foundation of the world. So in other words, when you're reading Scripture, you're reading truths that are beyond our time frame. They're before our time frame, and even truths that are out beyond our time frame. So this book is eternal. You cannot put a time frame on it in the sense of you can't go, well, that truth works here, but it won't work anywhere else. No, the truth is the truth. God is the God who changes what? He doesn't change. And so we're talking about the parable of the talents. We've talked about the talent of our bodies that have been given to us and the importance of what we use them for. And now we're in the parable or the talent of the mind. And one of the most important things, and we mentioned this last week, is that we have a transformed mind. And we looked at Romans 12, 1 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, the enemy and conforming, this word conforming, it holds the idea of pressure to form. It means to like press into a certain shape. Whenever you're under a conforming feeling, that's the enemy trying to work in your life. Okay? He's trying to manipulate. How many of you noticed that when the enemy brings in something that you know is contrary to the Word, or society begins to follow a certain thought that you know is contrary to what the Lord has declared in His truth, that it comes with a pressure. It comes with a forcing. It comes with a you better think this way or else. Whereas the wisdom that is above, from above, is first what? Peaceable. It comes with what? It comes with transforming power. In other words, the transforming power of God comes in a peaceable way to those and works to those who have a humble receiving attitude. So God is not a manipulator. He won't force, he won't try and coerce you. He'll continually extend his love. But he will not make you do the right thing. He will empower you to do the right thing. But he will forever keep his hands off your will if you don't want them there. Does that make sense? So the same is true with our mind. The same is true with the scripture. So let's look at a couple of truths here. Let's look at where thoughts come from first. Let's go over to Joshua chapter 1. That's in the Old Testament. Joshua. The question is where is it in the Old Testament? Yeah, 300, page 300, exactly. Joshua chapter 1. The first place that thoughts can come from that I want to deal with is thoughts come from God. They come from his word. This is a main way. And by the Holy Spirit. They come from his word and by the Holy Spirit. Joshua chapter 1 verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. And he said, Moses, my servant is dead. How would you like God to say that to you? You know, the servant is dead. The Lord comes and comforts Joshua and he says, Moses is dead. That's just pretty direct, isn't it? But Joshua's been serving Moses for years, so he's been preparing for this position. He says this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I have said to Moses. You know, if one generation dies, the next generation can inherit that promise. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from the right hand or to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage, and do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you and wherever you go. So not only is the Lord God, their God, with them in this situation and with you, but wherever he leads you to go, he'll be with you. So what is coming to Joshua here? Thoughts. Thoughts in the form of what? Words. Why does the Lord have to continually tell Joshua at least three times through here, do not be afraid. Be strong and very courageous, because thoughts are going to come from somewhere else. Because they're going to get to the promised land, and once they get to the promised land, what's going to be there? Well, their first was walls, right? Because they hit Jericho, right? And do you know that it doesn't make a lot of sense to a conformed mind to walk around a building or around walls and then yell at them? But it makes perfect sense to a transformed mind. You see, your mind is a gift from God. And thoughts come from different sources. But one of the main places that we need to receive thoughts from is from the written word. I like what Bill Johnson says. And I think he's been on this kick for a while, at least recently. He's made this statement over and over. You have this background of charismatic, Pentecostal, gifts of the Spirit, hearing the voice of the Lord speaking to you. And yet the Lord has him teaching this right now. Read your word until you hear God speak to you. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit who is in you, is the author of the book. The Spirit that is in you is in the book. And he'll speak to you. It's the safest way. It's the best way, right? Meditate in this day and night, Joshua. Does the Lord do that because he doesn't know what else to tell you to do? The Lord's like, well, they're just wasting too much time. I need to give them something to do down there. What does the Lord know? The Lord knows that faith comes and hearing by the word of God. The Lord knows that this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The Lord knows how big the walls are. Does the Lord care how big the walls are? No. We talked about this. He's not impressed with the size of our problem. What he's working with is the issue of our mind and our belief system in corresponding or responding to what's in front of us that the enemy has placed there. The Lord doesn't care how big the wall is. The Lord doesn't care the extent of what the enemy has been able, in the sense of whether he can take care of it or not. He doesn't care the extent that the enemy has been able to accomplish fortifications, sickness, disease, lack, all these things, depressions, anxieties, all these walls that are in the world. He's not impressed by the size of the weapon that the enemy is trying to form. Because when you unite yourself with God, what do you know? You know that no weapon formed against you shall. In other words, God impoverishes the enemy's weapon. He takes the prosperity out of it. Make sense? That's what Jesus did. And so part of our responsibility in walking in that truth and in walking in that victory is understanding where thoughts come from, having a transformed mind, and realizing the Word of God transforms the way I think. So that when I come up to the walls of Jericho, I don't look at them and go, wow, look at the size of the walls. I go, Lord, what do you want me to do? March. March? March. Can you imagine what the enemy's doing? Stupid Jews. Look at them. Marching. They're not even saying anything. Come on. You guys have heard it. You didn't hear stupid Jew because you weren't back then. I'm not making a racist statement. You understand? Okay? Let's not get so sensitive. Stay out of the feelings on this. You would hear stupid Christian. And you just need to. Just keep hanging out, devil. You're going to see. Be strong and of a good courage. Only be strong and of a. Meditate day and night. Don't let this word. I used to read that and I go, what in the world? Because I didn't understand meditation. I thought of meditation as thinking. And that's a part of it. But most of it is muttering, speaking. And so I never let that word out of my mouth. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. You see that? See, David was a faith guy. He understood the importance of say, think about this. I will say. I'm going to go ahead and speak from the resources of my covenant. I'm going to be strong and of a good courage. I'm not going to fear. Yeah, but you feel it. That's a feeling, not a faithing. That's not a word, faithing. But it's a feeling. You can say the opposite of what you feel. Many times, though, we're trained to speak from the resources of the soul and the feeling, the emotion, and what we see in front of us, instead of being transformed in our thinking and speaking from our faith. But the essence of Christianity, it is called the faith. It is confession. It is the door in and the continued operation of. In other words, you're saved by grace through faith, but you believe in your heart and confess with your... And the power of life and death is in the... From beginning to the completion of your faith. The operation does not change. Yeah, but it doesn't feel like it. And like my wife just said a little bit ago, if you want to please God, go ahead and declare what He said from your heart in the midst of everything that looks opposite to what He said. And God will look down and go, come on, how many of you have kids or you have somebody in your life where they are not feeling like doing what they're told and they do it anyway and with a good attitude and you just kind of like, yes, that is awesome. God's the same way. He looks down, and what we do, and we got to watch this because the enemy's really good at this. The enemy will try and come and say, God led you to the promised land, but He also built these walls of Jericho. Oh, I'm going to touch it. God and the devil are not working together. There are not secret handshakes happening behind the throne. They are not working together. So when, this is the wonderful thing about God's thoughts. When they come, when something opposite comes, you recognize it. See, when a thought from the enemy comes, you go into attack mode. I said, you do. You do, right? Because you're a believer, right? That's what you do. You go into attack mode. You don't receive into what the enemy is saying to you. You submit to what God has said to you, and you resist the enemy, and he flees from you. Now, that's a thought. You don't go into, oh, the devil's thoughts have arrived, and open the door and say, we've been expecting you. Come in. We have dinner prepared. Please sit at the table. The table that you're sitting at is not made for your enemy. No. Talking about Satan. You're meant to sit in the presence of the enemies around you going, food's good. And the enemy's going, that's not your food. And you say, it's all my food. It's the Father's table that He's placed before me. The enemy will want to come and sit. But you have a shield. You have a sword. You have a breastplate of righteousness. You have your loins girt about with truth. You got a helmet of salvation. And you got a belt of truth. And so when the enemy tries to come in and dine, just be ready, suit up, drive out, and don't stop until he's gone. Amen? You can do it. You say, how do you know? Because the Lord said so. I just, you know, I'm not a fighter like you. If you're born again, you have the lion of the tribe of Judah inside of you. You are a fighter like me. Now, it may come out differently. It may be expressed differently. But as long as it comes from a heart of faith, that's all that matters. And 1 year from now, it can look totally different than it does right now. Come on, you got to believe. You know, people teach these principles of believing in business. And then people come to the church and act like it doesn't work or, you know, there's some sort of mystery. It's not a mystery. There are things, principles in the Word that when we get our mind renewed to it, boy, we can just plow forward and not stop. And it won't. It's not that it won't be a fight. It's that it's a good fight. It's a fight you win. It's a fight you win. Come on, some of you need to learn to rejoice. Even if it all fell apart tomorrow and you went to heaven, you'd be in heaven. You know, the devil came to a preacher years ago and said, "What if you die?" And he said, "You're not going to scare me with heaven." See, some of the church has lost that little bit of a, you know, like spit on the devil's head. And you need to have it. Now, you don't need to have it with your spouse, but you need to have it with your enemy. You need to get in his face and resist. Amen. Resist. Don't be afraid. Meditate on those words. Thoughts come from the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. Thoughts come from the Holy Spirit. This is another main way. John chapter 14, verse number 16 says this, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and what? Will be in you." Verse number 25 in John chapter 14 says this, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." So don't say, "I can't remember." Say, "The Holy Spirit brings back to my remembrance." Have you ever been in a position where you felt like your mind was confused, you felt like things were going on, it's like you didn't think or you couldn't come up with the right words to speak? In that moment, you need to go, "The Holy Spirit, he's the one who gives me the words I need." And he'll give you the words. He'll give you the words. This is the way the Lord speaks to you. This is where thoughts come from. Thoughts come from his word. Thoughts come from the Holy Spirit. John 15, 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." John chapter 16, verse number 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away." Somebody say this with me. Say, "I am at an advantage because Jesus left." Jesus did not say, "I'm leaving, so good luck." He said, "It is to your advantage that I go away." Why? Because the Holy Spirit that was in him only now has spread like wildfire. He is not just in one. He is in you as well. I love this. Paul put it like this. He got so excited. He said, "The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me." He said, Paul said things like this, probably drove religious people nuts, but he said things like this. He said, "It's no longer I who lives." I love the other translation. I've said it before, but I got to say it again. "I've died and now I'm enjoying my second existence. Simply Jesus using my body." In other words, inside of you, you have the one who was before the manifestation of the universe. I wonder if he has a solution to my problem. You say, "Preacher, when I come here, it just feels like we mock our problems in the enemy." You are catching on. Well, they're serious. They're serious if you don't see how big your God is. Because even in the midst of serious destruction, there is one with us who conquered everything Satan had. All death, all hell, all the grave. He beat it all. Well, we're not quite there yet, but we're getting there, aren't we? You should, in your relationship with the Lord, be developing more and more sass toward the enemy every year. For lack of a better word, I don't know what the Greek is of that, but you should be an antagonizing thorn in the devil's side. Why? Because you just won't quit. You don't know how. You're not going there. It's not your DNA. You just keep walking with the Lord year after year. You just keep increasing in intimacy with Him year after year. And yeah, problems come and they go and things happen, but you just keep walking down that straight path, that narrow path toward eternity. You just keep using your faith and using your faith and using your faith and developing spiritually. You keep giving to the Lord and doing what He's asked you to do and walking in obedience to Him and pleasing Him and pleasing Him and pleasing Him. And the enemy tries to take you out and the enemy tries to do what he does, but yet as you continue to walk with him, no weapon that is formed prospers. They just keep falling aside. What takes other people out doesn't take you out. And then you become this what? You become a light that is brighter and brighter. You become a salt lick for Jesus. That was a good one. Salt and light. People just follow you around. Why? Because you taste so good. Why? Because the glory lives in you. You've learned to house it. You've learned to walk with Him and know Him and be with Him. You've learned, you've had your mind not conformed, but... And you become the devil's worst nightmare. I love what Mark... I want to go further, but I can't. I love what Mark Hankins says, and this is good Southern statements, talking about the spirit of faith. He said, the spirit of faith will make you swing over hell on a corn stalk and spit in the devil's eye. I love that. I read that, I thought, my goodness, yes. People say, well, what if you die? It would be worth it. Just to spit in his eye. You know, you got to count the cost. Sometimes it's just worth it. People say, well, you're crazy. You're crazy. You go over there, you're a missionary over there, they'll kill you. For Jesus, it's worth it. Come on. The spirit of faith will make a tadpole slap a whale. You say, what are you saying? I am trying to get a truth in you. Greater is He that's in you. Right? Those are just goofy little sayings that help you picture it. Smith Wigglesworth would say, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Your inside is affecting your outside. Stand with me, please. See, when you leave church, you're supposed to be full. Full of the Spirit and full of steak from the Word. Not just some light little something, but there should be an impartation. It should feel like something came into you and you go, yeah, I'm going to make it and this is going to happen. And that's the intention of the Word. Why do you think that people follow Jesus around? See, God's intention in demonstrating Jesus and what Jesus came and showed of the Father wasn't just so that we would understand that He was the Son of God. That was part of it. but was also to give a precursor and a demonstration to what the children are supposed to act like. Do you know what the devil hates more than anything? What he doesn't want to happen more than anything? Now, it's happening in the fulfillment of when the Christ returns, but the first fruits of these things and the development of these things are supposed to happen even before the Lord returns in many ways. The devil thought, I'm going to kill Jesus and this will all be over. But see, there was a meeting that took place before there was ever an earth. And God is never caught unaware. He knows the end from the... He's never had an issue with planning. So the devil thought, we'll kill him and end this. And God thought that he'll kill him and multiply it. Yep. That's what happened. He thought, I gotta stop this power. And he multiplied it. And that's where Paul came in and said, if demons would have known, they never would have touched him. But the devil's been around a long time and he doesn't think so well anymore. And he has no anointing because he's been kicked out of the presence of God. And he made a mistake and can't be redeemed. But we are. We are. I messed it up and I still gonna go to heaven. If that doesn't irritate the devil, I don't know what will. But he's so full of pride. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here today and you don't know the Lord, or you've backslidden away from the Lord and you need to give your life back to Him, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Your eternity, your life now depends on these things. If you don't know for sure, or you know, I need to correct some things here and make it right, I need to pray about this. Would you just raise your hand where you're at? And we'd be glad to pray with you. Thank you. Anybody else? Amen. Anybody? You see anybody, Ron? Any hands? Thank you. Let's pray all together. Father God, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe that he hung on a cross, that he was whipped, that he was beaten, that a crown of thorns was put on his head, that nails were put through his hands, through his feet, a spear in his side, that he sweat great drops of blood. And all of that blood and the sacrifice of his body was for my sins. I confess, Jesus has paid the price for my sin. And I take the reward of his righteousness in place of my sin. In Jesus' name, I am born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. Hell has left my heart, and heaven, by the Holy Spirit, the resurrection of Christ, now fills me. And when I pass and leave this body, leave this earth, I will go straight to the presence of God, with who is my Father for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo-wee! Now, how many just sense the presence of God here? You know, we can carry this. Do you know that God's not stuck inside the A-frame? He's in you. He's in you. We're going to keep believing God until, I mean, it just feels like a thick cloud in here as we continue to grow and just cooperate with Him. Why? I believe churches are filling stations. You got to go to the gas station, get some fuel. You come together, fellowship, get full, and then go out and be salt and light. Amen. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, we'll be available for prayer up here. God bless you guys. We'll see you Wednesday night. Go be light.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.